Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America, and welcome to the show. It is the 5th of November. Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of the mask right now because obviously you cannot hear me quite as well. But that is my little Guy Fawkes mask, which predates its use in the movie V for Vendetta. And today, of course, is the anniversary of that day back in 1605 when a group of religious terrorists, Catholics in this particular case, decided that the best way to restore Catholicism as the state religion of England following the death of Elizabeth I and the disappointment of James, who had a Catholic mother but really was not going to restore papal rule in England, they decided to blow up the Houses of Parliament. Now, Guy Fawkes became notorious and infamous for the plot purely through chance. There were about a dozen of the plotters, and the mastermind was a guy named Robert Catesby. And they were getting ready to do this plot, and looking back on it, may not have even worked. The gunpowder they had was so old it may not have even been able to explode. But somebody within the plotters who was concerned that innocent people might die sent an anonymous letter to the King of England, and they basically came in and seized the powder, and just by chance, Guy Fawkes happened to be keeping an eye on it at the time, and that's how he got captured and tortured and hung. And now every year on this date in Great Britain, they light bonfires and say, ooh, bad Guy Fawkes, bad Guy Fawkes. I don't know if that's specifically because he wanted to blow up the Houses of Parliament or because he failed, but that's basically where we came from. And, of course, the mask has been remade famous by the movie V for Vendetta. Now, for those of you who are audience that used to spend time with us over at our previous network, and you probably got used to the fact that my lady love, Claire, my wife, business partner, best friend, buddy, and so forth, would step into the show from time to time. We're going to do that again today in the second hour. Claire's going to sit down here at this second microphone, and we're going to talk about her opinion about why the U.S. government just seems so hopelessly out of touch with the needs of the American people. So we'll be doing that in hour number two. Final reminder here before we go to commercial break. This weekend starts daylight savings time. So unless you live here in Hawaii, because we don't do daylight saving time, we're too close to the equator, and in some parts of Arizona they do not observe daylight savings time, but when you go to bed Saturday night, set your clocks back 1 hour. So if you go to bed at 10 p.m., wind your clocks backward to 9 p.m. to get back on the winter time here. And I know there's a growing movement to basically abandon this whole idea of daylight savings time, because it's a real annoyance. It's one of those pathetic things government tries to do to make it look like they're helping the population without spending any real money, and they basically just interfere, and it's a huge annoyance. Now, me, I'm an old farm kid. When the sun comes up, I'm awake. And in the summer where there's a little bit more light, that's a plus. That's a benefit. Sometimes, I mean, I understand why the clocks are set at noon and midnight, going back to the earliest days of navigation by the sky for ships. But I think if I were redesigning the world, I would have had the time start at the local sunrise, not the local noon. And that, I think, would have made for a much more comfortable system for people. But our clock system is based on the needs of the days of sail and tall ships, and that's what we have got here right now. Now, I guess the big news is we're going to tease into the commercial break with this, and then we're going to come back and talk about it a little bit more. Over at MSNBC, Keith Olbermann has been suspended, supposedly for an ethics violation involving some donations to Democratic candidates. And I have a real problem with this and a possible alternative explanation. So we're going to go into the commercial break right now. When we come back, we'll be talking about that. Manny's in the control room today. Phone number is 800-313-9443. And we will be right back.
FM estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
America, welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the rather surprise and sudden suspension without pay of Keith Olbermann from MSNBC. Now, the reason we're being told for the suspension is that Keith Olbermann made some donations to some Democratic candidates this last election. And MSNBC is taking the position this is a violation of the ethics clause of Keith Olbermann's contract, and so he is suspended indefinitely without pay. And I emphasize that last point. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. Now, I don't agree with everything Keith Olbermann has to say. But Keith Olbermann did not make those donations as a representative of MSNBC. He made them as a private citizen, as Keith Olbermann. And if corporations have a First Amendment right to spend money for politics, then so too do American citizens. And the last time I looked, Keith Olbermann was an American citizen. And he's standing inside the jurisdiction of the United States of America, so the First Amendment protection of campaign donations must apply to him. I think MSNBC is completely way out of line here. I'm, you know, absolutely, and they're off my channel lineup here. I've only got a few left here. But what may be happening is MSNBC's ratings are in the Al-Qaeda, because nobody likes being lied to, and the entire corporate media is in major decline right now. the cable TV industry lost 500,000 subscribers just in the last 3 months. Hardest hit were Time Warner and Cablevision. And we've got Time Warner here. My wife and I were wondering, we're watching History Channel, we're seeing the same thing over and over again, you know, Titanic's Achilles heel. Oh, well, that's over. What's on next? Titanic's Achilles heel. All right, fine. What's on after that? Titanic's Achilles, and over and over and over and over again, to the point where we don't watch a lot of cable TV. And frankly, the only reason I think we're still subscribed is, you know, that's where we get our high-speed internet access, and they won't let us subscribe to the internet access without the TV. It's one of those bundling things here. But MSNBC is probably in financial trouble, along with all of the other corporate media. In fact, MGM just filed for bankruptcy. The funding for the new Hobbit movie is actually at risk right now from MGM's point of view. So they're in bankruptcy right now. Now, Olbermann's yearly salary is reported to be, I don't have a confirmation on this, but it's reported he's making $4 million a year. That's spare change compared to Glenn Beck. But it may be a point where MSNBC was looking for a reason to basically not have to pay that money anymore without being sued by Keith Olbermann, because he does have a contract. And so they looked at these private personal donations to Democratic candidates, and they said, aha, we can use that as an ethics violation. He is suspended. They're not firing him, because that would trigger a lawsuit, but they're suspending him for the ethics violation indefinitely without pay. So I think probably money had a lot to do with this thing. And they're going to be going out there looking for somebody who's willing to work for maybe $200,000 a year to take over his show or to do another show like it. Also, I think the writing is on the walls. The nation is swinging back toward conservatism, and the corporate media is saying, okay, we got to start pulling back the other way, because in 2012, we're going to have probably a GOP president and definitely a GOP Congress, and we'd better start sucking up to them now. So like I said, I don't always agree with Keith Olbermann. In fact, I don't even watch him all that much anymore. But in this case, I think Keith was right, and had a constitutional right to do what he did, and MSNBC is flat out wrong. We're going to go to the phones. Lee in Georgia. Aloha, Lee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I agree with you 100%. You know, on a personal level, I think Keith Olbermann's a complete idiot. But that's just a personal opinion of the man. But you know, when the corporations have the right to provide campaign funds to their candidate of their choice based on their personal agenda as a corporation, then how can they tell, when they're artificial entities to start with, then how can they tell a real true flesh and blood entity that is supposed to be an American citizen with the right to petition his, you know, I mean, come on.
No, I hear what you're saying here, and the bottom line is I understand if MSNBC wants to contractually control, you know, Keith Olbermann, when he is acting in his capacity as a figurehead for MSNBC, what he does on the air and what he does out in public when he is appearing as part of NBC's corporate image, MSNBC has a right to say, you will dress thus and so, you will act in such a way, you will say this, you will not say that. That's the deal. That's the deal that Olbermann made in exchange for his millions of dollars a year in salary. But when Keith Olbermann is a private citizen, I don't think MSNBC has a right to intrude on him. I don't care how much money they're paying.
100%. I mean, this just puts MSNBC over the top of absolute hypocrisy.
It really does, because we have been seeing this trend where we've seen a whole bunch of journalists who have been fired from their jobs because of comments they made as private citizens. And this is a very alarming trend toward, you know, absolute tyranny and the complete abandonment of freedom of speech. And, you know, I think MSNBC is absolutely flat out wrong. I'm not going to, they're off my channel lineup as of right now. I'm not going back to them.
Well, you know, and you're right. When you talk about, you know, when you make reference to the freedom of speech, you're exactly right. But we've got to remember Elena Kagan herself said that, you know, there are certain parts of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that we have to interpret, and freedom of speech is okay, but that's only if it meets the criteria of what's acceptable based upon the mo- motivation behind that speech. You see where I'm going
well,
with this? This
but what she, this what really she was about. Trying to do is she's trying to basically justify this idea that if something is classified as hate speech, that somebody intends hurt, that it's no longer protected by freedom of speech, and it's a very, very gray area. But it doesn't apply in this case. Olbermann was not expressing hate or hostility or anger. He merely made campaign donations, which everybody in this country is entitled to do. And so MSNBC is completely wrong. I don't think it was the donations. I think MSNBC wanted to basically save that multi-million dollar a year expense at a time when they're struggling to stay out of bankruptcy themselves, and they just saw this as an excuse to invoke the ethics clause. Okay?
I couldn't agree more. Thank you, sir, and you have a great day.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Brian in Georgia. Aloha, Brian. What did you want to talk about?
Hi, is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Mike, well, just about Keith Olbermann and the mainstream media in general, I used to watch, Keith Olbermann, and some of his statements resonated with me, too. But, because he's part of the mainstream media, I think in the final analysis, they're all gatekeepers. They'll go so far in attacking the established order, but, you know, in the final analysis, they don't make those millions, you know, to be talking about ending the Federal Reserve and,
they're walking a very fine line where they want to give the impression that they're going out there and reporting on government wrongdoing in order to draw an audience in that wants to know what's going on. But, yeah, they only go up to a certain line, and then they stop. And that was certainly true of Keith Olbermann. It's one of the reasons I stopped watching him. It's true of all of them. If you really want to find out what's going on, you got to come out here to the alternative media, got to come out here to Republic Broadcasting, got to go to whatreallyhappened.com. We're not paid enough money to shut the heck up about certain topics. You know, and,
right.
And if MSNBC wants to hire me to take over Keith Olbermann's job, I can promise them right now I will never donate to any political candidates of either party because I don't have the money to do it. Okay? But in all seriousness here, the money is going to protect the money, especially in these difficult economic times. But again, in this particular case, I'm pretty sure that MSNBC was just looking for an excuse to cut costs, and Olbermann was one of their highest paid talents, as I understand it. Again, I don't have an actual confirmation what he was making, but it was reported in a couple of sources that it's about $4 million a year.
Yeah, that's not pocket change or what you find under the seat covers.
I could be very happy on $4 million a year. I mean, I always joke about wanting to make Glenn Beck money or Rush Limbaugh money, but $4 million a year would keep me pretty happy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't keep me quiet, but it would keep me happy.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Just one other thing, Mike, and it's actually not on the same subject, but there was a new G. Edward Griffith documentary called What in the World Are They Spraying?
All right, we're not going to go to chemtrails. We're not going to chemtrails. Thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to we don't do chemtrails on this show. We don't do phony Apollo landings. We don't do Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster's love child running for Congress, and we, you know... That's go over to Rents. All righty. So anyway, another story that's getting a lot of attention. Apparently, one of our phony Al Qaeda has come out and said, "Yes, we did the toner cartridge bomb," and they needed to do that because over the last couple of days, the guy that was being blamed for it, Awlaki, it turned out he was reported killed back in 2009. So it's like Osama bin Laden, they're trying to wave this guy at him, and he's been dead for a while. And it reminded me of this hilarious scene in Michael Moore's movie Canadian Bacon, and I found a clip of it at YouTube, and I linked it to the front page of my website, where the president is desperate to find an enemy that he can scare the American people with. And the president is played by Alan Alda, and he did a fabulous job doing it. And they've got this slideshow, and they're putting up all these guys. And how about this guy? Well, he's dead. How about this guy? He's dead. How about this guy? He's dead. What are we going to find? And it's almost that funny. They're trying to find somebody they can wave at us to scare us. And Awlaki is dead, and now they're trying to change gears and say, oh, well, we've got this other guy that's converted Israeli. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America, and welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the fact that this American-born cleric that was blamed for inciting the 9/11 Muslims, and he was supposedly linked to the Fort Hood shooting, the Bandini bomber, overdue library books, all these really bad things, and they've been sort of promoting him as the replacement for Osama bin Laden because too many people know that Osama bin Laden is dead. And it turns out al-Awlaki is also dead. He was killed last year in an airstrike. And they're running around, you know, trying to say, well, yeah, we blew him up in 2009, but he got better. And he's back, and he's the supervillain, and nobody's buying it. So obviously today they're getting the understudy up. Quick, get another terrorist, you know, uncrate him, you know, wipe the smile off his face. Make him look mean and put him on the TV and say, yes, come get us. Well, Airbus is off the hook for their little problem with an exploding engine yesterday, because today another aircraft, this time a Boeing 707-400, biggest one they make, also had an engine problem, and also flown by Qantas, had to turn back and land in Singapore. And it's also using these Rolls-Royce engines. Rolls-Royce makes these really, you know, the really big modern jet engines that these large aircraft use. So we're kind of narrowing this thing down. It wasn't an Airbus problem. It's not a Boeing problem. It's either the Rolls-Royce engines, or more likely, I would start looking at the possibility that Qantas is having some of their maintenance done in some of the more third-world airports. And a lot of airlines are doing that to save money. They don't want to do maintenance in the United States. It's hugely expensive, and the cost of the regulatory compliance is right through the roof. So what they do is, where possible, they will have their planes serviced at airports in, you know, East Flanistan or something like that, where the parts are there and the workmen are there, and they get the work done. But the manuals are written, you know, for Boeing products, they're written in English, and for Airbus, they're written in English and French. And the technicians in these remote facilities may not read these languages all that well. So things may happen. And hopefully they'll solve this very, very, very soon. All right, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Qantas is not the only aviation company having problems. The launch of the Discovery Space Shuttle has again been postponed. Was supposed to launch today after one delay. Now they're saying it won't launch until maybe the 30th, after Thanksgiving, apparently under the budget cuts that Obama handed down. They've run out of the Beeman's gum to plug the gas tank, the gas leak with, and you're not going to understand that joke unless you are a real old space aviation aficionado. You have to be old enough to remember what the Happy Bottom Riding Club is supposed to mean, and then you'll understand the joke about Beeman's. But apparently the shuttle, is its last flight is already problematic, and they've just got glitches all over the place here. Now, yesterday we were talking about Obama's trip to Mumbai, India, and he's already on his way. Air Force One just took off, and they've got all these planes and all these people and 200 CEOs and 700 FBI agents, and they're just going in style. Now, yesterday it was being reported that the United States had sent a fleet of 34 ships, basically represents 10% of the American frontline blue water combat fleet, to basically hang around the ocean off the coast of Mumbai and look mean. And people are trying to figure out why. It's not like the Navy could personally protect the president. You know, was it a show of force? Are they rattling sabers ahead of the G20, where the dollar's future is very much at risk right now? The Pentagon has announced today that there is no fleet of 34 ships. They have no idea why the people in Mumbai were making that story. It's just a great deal of silliness, and you really shouldn't pay attention to that. Now, of course, these days, it's a coin toss whether you should be listening to Mumbai's version of the story or the Pentagon's. And you know, we don't really know. I don't trust the Pentagon to be telling us the truth about what's going on anywhere in the world. But we have another classic case of he said, she said. Now, one thing that we do have is apparently, in preparation for Obama's visit to India, everywhere that he is likely to be, they are removing the coconuts from the overhead palm trees. Apparently they are concerned that a palm tree may decide to assassinate the President of the United States by dropping a coconut on his coconut. And it's kind of a giggle for me, because I used to produce TV commercials here in the island of Hawaii, and one of the first ones that we did and sold involved a palm tree that would drop coconuts on cars that were parked in the no parking zone. And the client was an auto body, a dent shop, a dent removal place, and it was a very popular commercial. So I saw this, and I said, it's the first thing I thought of, you know, dropping coconuts. But you know something? Taking coconuts off the trees, just in case. Even Nixon wasn't that paranoid. If Obama's really worried a coconut's going to fall on his head, don't stand under the tree. That's how we do it here in Hawaii. We walk around. We don't get clubbed with coconuts. We know better than to stand under the tree. Obama grew up here. He should know this. Man, even Nixon was not that paranoid. Now, getting back to pressure on the media to conform to certain expected mythologies, Brian Williams apparently questioned the... Oh, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Brian Williams after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the media. We're still kind of trying to find out what happened with Keith Olbermann over at MSNBC. I think they just wanted to save themselves his salary without getting sued for breach of contract here. Now, last Friday on the NBC Nightly News, Brian Williams basically expressed on the air that he thought this so-called Yemen toner cartridge bomb plot was pretty inept. Those are his words. And obviously, I agree. I have been saying exactly the same thing. Toner cartridges sprayed with white stuff, a circuit card, which we now know did in fact come from an old Nokia cell phone, but it didn't have the touchpad, didn't have the display screen, and most importantly did not have the SIM card, which means it was never, ever, ever going to work to do anything. So it was a hoax, and it got on the plane because none of the dogs, and none of the chemical tests, none of the sniffers said that there was anything explosive in there. Of course, the excuse is now the terrorists have come up with a magic untraceable explosive powder, which we're all going to have to pay for new $5 million sensors at all the post offices and airports in order to deal with this threat. A lot of money here on the line here. So Brian Williams is saying it was looking pretty inept. And by the way, you want to talk about inept. This idea that this was a dry run and a test run is nonsense. If you're going to go to that kind of trouble, you put a real explosive in there. There's no such thing as a terrorism dry run. That's an absolute, absolute joke. All right, so anyway, apparently the White House got upset with Brian Williams. And they basically called him and said, we would never put the president out there saying it was a serious bomb threat unless that was the case. Well, you know, having been the victim of White House phone calls of pressure back in 1976 during the Viking mission, the White House can get, you know, they're thugs. They're thugs is basically what it comes down to here. All right? But I want to point out something. In his latest, in his memoirs, George W. Bush admits authorizing the use of torture. Okay? Now, setting aside that he should be in The Hague in shackles right now, this means that when the story about Abu Ghraib first broke, about the use of torture to extract confessions that were being bandied about on the corporate media about what mean old people the Iraqis and the terrorists and all the rest of that was, the official line coming out of the White House was, it's just a few bad apples. It's a few rogue guards who just got carried away. This is not official policy. That's what the White House told you. And that's what the corporate media parroted to you in exchange for their little crackers and nuts they get fed. And what this basically means, with this admission in his book that he personally ordered the use of torture, it means that all of those pronouncements we were getting from the White House about it's not official policy were lies. And the corporate media echoed those lies. And that means when the White House today is telling Brian Williams we wouldn't have the president say it if it wasn't true, is total horse pucky. Of course they lie all the time. They lied about Saddam's nuclear weapons. They've lied about the state of the economy. Of course they're lying. When they get out there and say that these toner cartridges of mass destruction are a serious threat, when anybody can look at them and realize this is a joke. It's an absolute joke. And then they, you know, they say, arrest this Yemeni woman because her name and phone number are on the packing slip, and the Yemeni authorities say, stolen identity. Nobody can identify. Now they try to blame this Awlaki, who's the new manufactured supervillain, to replace Osama bin Laden, and it turns out Awlaki is just as dead and gone as Osama bin Laden. So this whole thing's just a joke, and they keep coming back. They're trying to find some... You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the old Maxwell Smart TV series, the original, not these later movies that weren't anywhere near as funny. But the original, Mel Brooks produced it, Get Smart was the name of the TV series, and there was a running gag in there where the secret agent Maxwell Smart had this, would you believe... You know, and he'd be in this tight situation where he's surrounded by agents of chaos, and he'd say, would you believe this building is surrounded by 5,000 Marines? And the bad guy would say, no, I wouldn't believe that. Maxwell Smart would go, oh, well, would you believe it's surrounded by 14 police cars? And the bad guy would say, no, I don't believe that either. Maxwell Smart said, would you believe a toothless guard dog and a retired security contractor? And it just, you know, it just kept, he kept coming back to, would you believe this? Well, would you believe that? No, would you believe that? Okay. Would you believe Osama bin Laden? No, he's dead. Would you believe, Awlaki? No, he's dead too. Would you believe Adam Gadon? Well, no, he's really Adam Perlman. And they're just coming back. Would you believe this? They're looking for something they can get traction. And they don't realize how ridiculous it looks from out here in the real world. But with that admission that he ordered the waterboarding, not only is President Bush guilty of war crimes, you're not supposed to torture confessions out of people for the nightly news, but basically underscores the fact that, yeah, Obama would be out there saying whatever he felt he needed to get his new war and push that war agenda forward, because he thinks a war will save the economy and turn it around because, hey, it worked in World War I and World War II. Let's give it a try again. What have we got to lose besides 100 million people? All right, turning to the economy here, the news is definitely not good. As you know, Ben Bernanke's cranking up his printing presses for a new round of quantitative easing. He has publicly committed to $600 billion to buy government debt, meaning you know, the government just basically gives him T-bills. The Federal Reserve gives the government money in exchange for it. Now, the Federal Reserve just prints up the money out of thin air. But those T-bills that they're buying represent a promised by the U.S. government to make you slave away at menial jobs for minimum wage to pay that money back down the road, plus the accruing interest. You are being sold into slavery for this $600 billion. But that's not the end of it. Because Wall Street is saying they need another $5.5 trillion in quantitative easing out this so-called discount window, because they're still trying to clean up the mess from the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities and the leftovers of the derivatives mess. By the way, more and more financial magazines are beginning to shift away from the foreclosures to the mortgage-backed security as the heart of the problem. And it is. That is the heart of the problem. Now, I want to read you a quote that you're probably going to find a little bit shocking. This came from an op-ed earlier in the week. Quote, "I am doing whatever I interpret my mandate to be, which right now means only one thing, the Dow at 36,000. I am only accountable to the private bank that is the Federal Reserve, a few Wall Street CEOs, and no one else. Congress has no power over me. Try to stop me." That's Ben Bernanke, who wrote that in an op-ed piece. That is his true attitude. He's not here to make the nation better. He's here to drive the Dow up to 36,000, because that way they get to cash out and take a lot of money, you know, for their Christmas bonuses. Bernanke says he's only responsible to the Federal Reserve, a privately owned central bank. He's responsible to a couple of Wall Street CEOs whose investment firms have these special relationships with the Federal Reserve. And he's basically saying, I am above the law. Congress has no power over me. Try to stop me. I think Congress ought to. Sounds like a dare to me. All we need is a leader with the courage of an Andrew Jackson or an Abraham Lincoln or a John F. Kennedy, and Congress can shut them down. Congress could vote to revoke the Federal Reserve Charter tomorrow or Monday or whenever they get back in session, if they had the gonadal tissue to do so, which we know that they don't. Now, you need to understand, there are grounds for Congress to basically prove that Ben Bernanke is wrong and can and exercise some control over him, because Bernanke promised Congress the Federal Reserve would not monetize the debt. He promised that back on June 3rd, 2009. And yet, here we are. That's exactly what's happening. He's trying to inflate the debt away. Not the government's debt, the Federal Reserve's debt. And here's the hidden sting for all that. They're printing up all this money. Remember, the money does have to be backed by some kind of assets, foreclosed homes, investments, whatever. And with the way the market's jumping around, you know, 2 to 3% in a single day, that razor-thin margin the Federal Reserve has right now could vanish in a major stock downturn. The Federal Reserve, even with its ability to simply print up more paper money, could be technically bankrupt with the next major drop in the stock market. That's probably why Bernanke is talking about driving the stock market up to 36,000. It may be that the Federal Reserve has been doing so much buying of stocks to prop up the mountain. They're now prop up the economy. They're now committed, because somebody keeps buying stocks to drive the market higher. And we know that the Federal Reserve has been part of that so-called plunge protection team, the President's Special Working Group on the Markets. The Federal Reserve may be sitting on a ton of U.S. equities. We know the small investors are already out. And so if the stock market has to be driven upward in order to keep the Federal Reserve itself technically solvent, it's a very, very dangerous situation. A major stock decline will crash the Federal Reserve, crash the entire economy. When the G20 meets, if they signal that they are going to move away from the dollar as the global reserve currency, it's all over. The party is over. And if there is a fleet of 34 U.S. warships hanging around the Indian Ocean right now, it may be there as a warning. You know, don't abandon the dollar or we will do something nuclear to you. And of course, because that does not sit right with the American people, that would be a good motive for the Pentagon to come out here and say, well, you know, it's not really, it's silly. That's literally what the Pentagon said. It's silly. Why would we do a thing like that? But the bottom line is, whether you call it, you know, quantitative easing, or monetizing the debt, or whatever fancy name they make up for it. They're basically devaluing the dollar. Every time Ben Bernanke prints out another one of these pretty printed pieces of paper, it means that the money you already have, that you already worked for, that you've got in your savings account or your cookie jar or under your mattress, and the money that you are getting from for your menial job is worth less and less and less and less. They are stealing buying power from you with their magic printing press. They don't even have to touch you. They don't even have to reach into your pocket. They're just magically making these pieces of paper worth less and less and less. That's why right now, even today, you are seeing gas prices go up. You are seeing food prices go up. You are being robbed by remote control. They're devaluing the currency in your pocket in order to print up new currency that contains that value and give it to themselves. That's what they're doing here. They're robbing you to preserve their own wealth and position. This is the start. This is going to trigger a currency war. Last month, the U.S. government was insisting they were not going to engage in a currency war with other nations. And yet, as the printing press has come on, we've already got China and Germany saying that they refuse to let the dollar sink relative to their own currencies because that will destroy their export markets. So they're going to have to lower the value of their currency, and it's going to be a currency war, and we will lose. We, the people, will lose. And that's what's going on here. Now, right now, the dollar is falling faster than Al Gore's hopes for a carbon tax. It's down almost 3.5% since the G20 meeting last month. 3.5% in a month. It's dropped. And Tim Geithner, who was out there talking about a strong dollar policy, seems to be AWOL. Nobody has heard from him. He's not out there challenging what Bernanke is doing. Of course, after Bernanke's op-ed, Geithner might have said, I can't do anything. Bernanke is the law unto himself. You know, he is a god above the laws of us mere mortals. We must leave him alone with his printing press. Germany called the U.S. policy of quantitative easing clueless. Remember, Germany has been through this before with the Weimar Republic. At the end of World War I, the terms of surrender saddled Germany with a fractional reserve banking system modeled on that of the Bank of England and the United States of, the United States of America was just getting one at that point. They'd already had two, and they were just coming up on they had just created the Federal Reserve in the United States of America. So at the end of World War I, Germany was forced to accept a fractional reserve banking system and immediately went into runaway inflation. We've all seen heard the horror stories and seen the pictures of people carrying entire baskets of paper money to buy a loaf of bread. That's how completely out of control it was. Adolf Hitler came in and said, we're getting rid of this. The government will now issue its own currency for the use of the public, free of interest. And it's payable back to the government in taxes. I know we're all supposed to be told that Adolf Hitler was a really bad guy. And he was. He did a lot of things that we don't agree with. But he had a couple of good ideas. The Volkswagen was one of them. And the other one was a government-issued currency spent into circulation by the government, used by the people without having to pay interest to a central bank for the use of that money, and then brought back into the government through taxes. Because of that, because Hitler walked away from that fractional reserve banking system that Germany had been cursed with as part of their war punishment, the bankers of the world in 1933 declared a global economic boycott against Germany to try and destroy this new economic model before it had a chance to really take off and remind the rest of the world there are different ways of approaching the public currency than the one the schools keep telling us is what we're supposed to accept. And the hardship caused by that boycott and the obvious connivance of the bankers inside Germany with this attempt to force Germany back to the Weimar inflation is what fueled the anger and rage that led to some of the later abuses in Germany and eventually World War II itself. So here we are with the United States, you know, going into the same exact behavior. The Germans know what this will lead to if this monetization of the debt, of this running the printing presses willy-nilly. They know where it'll go. They've been there. They remember what it did to their country. And that's why they're saying the Americans are clueless, meaning the American government, because you and I and everybody listening to this show, we know this is a disaster waiting to happen. That's why they're saying that the government is clueless about this. All righty. Now, let's see. All right, we're coming up to the last... Oh, we've got a caller. We're going to have to hold off until the end of this next commercial break, and then we'll be taking Tom's call. There's the music, meaning it's time for some commercials. Tom, when we come back.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Aloha, welcome back to the show. I should put the volume up if you want to hear me. We're going to go to the phones. Tom in Connecticut. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you brought up taxes again, and we can do Hitler one better. Instead of taxing the money back from the people, just have the government run the banking system and collect the interest to fund the government and eliminate all taxes. Then we'd really be free.
I would have to model that out to know if that would really work or not, because government spending and taxes have to be zero sum. The government has to take in its taxes as much as it spends. And the problem, again, if you're basically talking about the government is not going to go out and run this same compounding interest game, and we're back at the same problem in that the debt is always going to exceed the available money supply. Now, I'm not saying that all banking is bad, but I think I'd want to look at that a little bit more closely before I signed on to that as a solution.
Okay, well, here's another factor, and I mentioned this once before, is building and maintaining our transportation infrastructure and probably other parts of the infrastructure as well. The government pays for that by printing the money and directly paying the people who work on those projects. That
yes.
puts new money into circulation that can help to pay back the interest.
Yes. Yeah, well, that basically, I mean, that's the system that was set up by the Founding Fathers, by Thomas Jefferson. And, of course, Alexander Hamilton, you know, was working hand in glove with the private bankers trying to bring about a private central bank. It's one of the issues that led to the duel with Aaron Burr. And, you know, that's why the Treasury Department is still Alexander Hamilton. What a great guy he was. He sold you all into the bankers' clutches and so forth and so on. But that was basically the system that was set up in the original colonies. And then, you know, Ben Franklin said, this is how we do it. And King George III said, no, you got to have a currency act, you got to do it the way we do it here in Great Britain. And that was really what fueled the American Revolution. We didn't fight a revolution to be free of Great Britain so much as we fought a revolution to be free of the Bank of England. And then the Bank of England came back and tried to reconquer us during the War of 1812, and then they bribed the U.S. government to accept the first Bank of the United States. That one was shut down after 20 years. Then there was the Second Bank of the United States, which was shut down after 20 years. Then in 1913, we got the Federal Reserve, which was given a 100-year charter. Unfortunately, a later Congress voted to extend the charter indefinitely. It's going to take an act of Congress or an armed revolution to get the new, the current private central bank shut down and put out of business. And unfortunately, we don't have anybody with the gonadal tissue in government to do that.
Well, before that happens, I see states seceding and setting up their own monetary systems.
Oh, they're gonna have to. I've been recommending that to the Hawaii government for years now. They're not interested because the problem is that every state governor dreams of running for the White House. So they're really not paying attention to the needs of their own state. And there's a lot of denial going on there. I've noticed that people who are working for the government or hold office, they're still dealing in magical thinking that somehow this is all going to work out and we just have to string the people along and sooner or later somebody will invent a way that will turn the economy around. And they're just marking time and hoping for the best. And there's really a great deal of denial in the legislatures and the state houses as to just how bad things are out here. And partly is, they're ready to gratefully accept and believe the propaganda they're getting out of the corporate media. The corporate media today is still saying, oh, the unemployment is only 9%. And, job creation is up and it's all huzzah, huzzah. But at the same time, we're seeing major skyrocket in unemployment claims. The two do not line up. Let's see. I think I'm still talking to Tom in Connecticut. Tom, I got to let you go. I got one more caller I got to get to. We'll be back in 1 minute.